Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A 10-minute animation just showed a Corpus Christi jury exactly what prosecutors say Adrian Gonzalez did while children were being slaughtered inside Robb Elementary School. And what he did, according to Texas Rangers investigators, was stand next to his patrol vehicle for nearly 4 minutes while 117 gunshots echoed through the hallways of that fourth grade wing. Tell us you didn't know what was going on again. Tell us you were confused again. Tell us that you thought you were doing the right. Tell us whatever line of bullshit you want to get. Just shut the hell up, you know? And take your punishment like a man. For being the failure that you are. This is really easy for me to get off on a tangent on this case, and I'm going to try not to here, okay? Because everybody goes to, what about everybody? They all should be charged, okay? Is he a scapegoat? Yes, he is. Is that right? No. Again, I think all of them should be charged. All of them. Any individual with a weapon who was standing there with a duty that was there of sworn to protect, and they didn't do that. I don't care what your orders were. There was literally parents trying to jump over you to get in. They were willing to take the bullet, and y'all weren't. So guess what? Y'all don't deserve to have the titles or the jobs that you have anymore, and some of us would argue you don't necessarily deserve to continue sharing this community space we call Earth anymore either. But again, the level of anger in this case is, it's off the charts, and the level of delusional thinking and the mental gymnastics one has to make and go through to find any semblance of decency here. I don't know. It's something. As I continue on, give me your thoughts in the comment section, either on YouTube or on our Substack channel, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the description. I want to get your thoughts. Let's have the conversation. So let's do just that. So, 117 gunshots echoing through the hallways, a fourth grade wing of a classroom, and Adrian Gonzalez, he just got a, according to prosecutors, stood there. Let that number settle in. 117 shots. Fired inside a school. Well, the first officer on the scene stood outside. Gonzalez has pled not guilty to all 29 counts of child endangerment and is presumed innocent, but the prosecution's presentation was methodical, clinical, and rather devastating. Texas Ranger Lieutenant Nick Hill spent roughly a year constructing this animation from scanner data, dispatch audio, body camera footage, and shell casing locations. The result is a second-by-second recreation of the deadliest school shooting in Texas history, and it puts Adrian Gonzalez at the center of a response that investigators have characterized as a catastrophic failure to act. Here's what the animation showed. At 11:28, the gunman crashes his grandmother's truck into a ditch near the school. He exits the vehicle and starts firing. Two people who ran towards the crash to help immediately flee when they realize that they're being shot at. At 11:31, Gonzalez's patrol vehicle enters the frame, driving eastbound on Geraldine Street. He drives past the crashed truck. He keeps driving towards the school, and then, according to the animation, he appears to drive right past the shooter in the teacher's parking lot. The gunman is firing rounds into the air at this moment. Allegedly into windows, moving towards the west side of the campus. The animation shows Gonzalez parking his vehicle in the southeast corner of the property, exiting and radioing two words, shots fired. And according to the prosecutor's timeline, he stays there. The gunman enters the school at 11:32:59. He's inside the building, walking down a hallway, while the animation shows Gonzalez remaining outside by his vehicle. 11:33:45, the gunman enters room 111 and opens fire on a classroom full of fourth graders. The animation shows red X marks appearing on the screen, each one representing a shell casing, each one representing a bullet that tore through that room. And according to Hill's analysis, Gonzalez doesn't enter the building until about 11:35:48. And by that point, 117 rounds had already been fired inside those classrooms. 3 minutes and 40 seconds, that's how long prosecutors say Gonzalez stood by his patrol vehicle before he moved towards the building. In an active shooter scenario, 3 minutes and 40 seconds is an eternity. It's the difference between response and a massacre, and he taught the damn class, so he should know better. And he didn't. The question now is, what do we do with people who know better that don't respond? The prosecution isn't arguing that Gonzalez should have performed some heroic one-man breach of the classroom. Prosecutor Bill Turner made that clear in opening statements. We're not asking Adrian Gonzalez to commit suicide. I am. Every parent there is. And you know what? It's your fucking job. It is. I'm sorry. Protect and serve. That's you, buddy. And sometimes that means you're taking the bullets for the kids. Why? Because you raised your hand and said you're braver than everybody else and you can handle this and you're willing to do it. If you're not, you should have kept the job at Family Video. He was trained to go to the corner of a building and distract, delay, and impede the gunman while help is arriving. Gonzalez had that training. He didn't just have it, he taught it. Records show that just 2 months before the shooting, Gonzalez served as an instructor for an active shooter training course at Uvalde High School. One of the modules was titled Stop the Killing, Solo Response to Active Shooter Events. Exactly what he was encountering. So the question isn't whether Gonzalez knew what to do. The question is, why didn't he do it? The defense is an answer, and it centers on a woman named Melody Flores. Flores was a teacher's aide at Robb Elementary, and she testified that she encountered Gonzalez outside the school as the shooting was unfolding. She told him, she said, two or three times where the gunman was heading. She estimated she spoke with him for somewhere between 2 and 7 minutes. Her description of Gonzalez during that interaction was blunt. He just stayed there. He's over there! He's doing this to the kids! And good old brave Adrian... he stood there. Prison's going to be fun for you, buddy. Defense attorney Nicola Hood seized on this. He argued that Gonzalez may have experienced tunnel vision, focused on Flores after she'd fallen near the south lawn of the campus. Lieutenant Hill, the man who built the animation, acknowledged this was possible, but here's a problem for the defense. That 2 to 7 minute interaction with Flores wasn't included in the Texas Rangers official timeline. Hill admitted he didn't have that information when he constructed the animation, which means either the timeline is incomplete or Flores' testimony is filling in gaps the state doesn't want filled. LaHood went hard on Hill during cross-examination, and the exchanges got tense. At one point, LaHood told Hill to look at this jury while answering a question about whether other officers could have stopped the shooter. He reportedly told Hill to listen before asking questions. Oh, that reads well to a jury, being demanding and controlling of a female. I'm sure that'll come across great. When the prosecution objected to LaHood's approach, LaHood fired back, "Give me a list of questions you want me to ask him." Turner responded dryly, "Pass the witness?" The courtroom laughed. LaHood didn't. "Not a chance," he said. "I know it's hurting you." And here's where the defense strategy becomes more clear. LaHood isn't just arguing that Gonzalez didn't have the opportunity to act. He's arguing that other officers had better opportunities and failed. Yes, they all did. And they all should be tried. But so did Adrian. And he failed. So we're focusing on that. We're not doing a, "Well, I know you are, but what am I? But what about these guys? They didn't do it either." We're not settling this after an argument on the playground at recess in the fourth grade. You already let all those kids die. So there's no fourth grade recess today because they're all dead in the classroom. so we're not going to settle this like a fourth grade argument in the entrance to the school. You, what did Jimmy do to you? Okay, well, yeah. The animation shows three patrol vehicles arriving on Geraldine Street shortly after Gonzalez's gunshots rang out inside the school. Those vehicles drive away from the building, according to heading towards Old Carrizo Road and the front of the campus. They don't approach the shooter. They don't engage. They reposition. Again, every one of them should be tried. La Hood zeroed in on Officer Juan Suicido, Uvalde PD officer, who arrived at the scene armed with an AR-15. And according to testimony, Suicido saw the shooter. He allegedly asked Sergeant Daniel Coronado for permission to fire. He didn't take the shot. He'll confirm that Suicido had an opportunity and did not take the shot. He also confirmed that Suicido, Coronado, and a third officer named Jesus Mendoza all had line of sight to the gunman before he entered the building. None of them engaged. Again, all of them should be tried. Their actions, what they were doing right now, was that helping these children? La Hood asked Hill, referring to the officers who drove away while the shots were being fired. He struggled to answer. I can't testify to that, he said. Use your common sense, La Hood pressed. Tell this jury you can't answer whether them driving away was helping those children. I mean, it's a brutal question, but they're not on trial right now. So let's continue over here. I know you want to distract the jury and make them go, well, let's let them have their day. But for now, let's focus on Adrian's actions, right? I mean, the question certainly does expose the central tensions in this case. Adrian Gonzalez is the only officer currently on trial for the response to Robb Elementary. Former UCISD Police Chief Pete Arredondo faces charges too, but his trial hasn't started. The hundreds of other officers who responded that day, the ones who waited over 70 minutes before breaching that classroom, they're not facing criminal liability. So why Gonzalez? The prosecution's answer is that Gonzalez was first. He arrived before the shooter entered the building. He had training, he had a duty, and prosecutors allege he didn't act. That's the legal theory behind 29 counts of child endangerment, one for each child who was in those classrooms, 19 of whom were killed. And did you think of this, that maybe if Adrian Gonzalez was engaging the shooter, if he was doing his job, doing what he was trained to do, what he trained others to do, that maybe those other officers, had there already been one officer engaged, they might have not driven away. They might have been waiting for the cue from officer number one, who is supposed to be out there engaging the shooter. Okay, there is something going on here right now. The officer is engaged. Let's stop what we're doing and go towards this. No, they didn't, because he was standing by his car. So they thought, he's not doing anything. Maybe there's nothing going on. And then everybody keeps going, well, they're not doing anything. So there must not be any. So Adrian, You created a cascading lack thereof domino effect where others would have fallen and done what they should have done had you done your job first, but you failed to do it, you pathetic coward. The defense's answer is that signaling out Gonzalez is arbitrary. If failing to engage an active shooter is criminal, then half the law enforcement officers on scene that day should be sitting at the defense table, and they should be. That's a lot of off. You're damn right it is. And every last one of them do not deserve a badge. La Hood has made it clear he intends to put the entire response on trial, even if his only client is the one facing prison time. The emotional weight of this case is staggering, and it's spilling over into the courtroom in ways the judge can't fully control. Earlier in the trial, Velma Lisa Duran, the sister of slain teacher Irma Garcia, was escorted out of the courtroom after an outburst during testimony. A witness had been discussing the fact that the doors to room 111 and 112 were unlocked when the gunman arrived. Duran couldn't control herself. You know who went into the fatal funnel? Because that's what the defense was calling the hallway to make it sound like no one was going to go into the fatal funnel. My sister went into the fatal funnel. Did she need a key? She's a teacher. She didn't have a weapon either. She did it. Why didn't you, assholes? That's my conjecture. Why didn't you, assholes? She didn't say that part. I am. Why didn't you, assholes? Why didn't you, assholes? Why didn't you, assholes? It all, you got to hit the you a certain way to make them, you know. The fatal funnel. That's a law enforcement term for an open space with no cover, basically a kill zone. Duran's sister walked into one to protect her students. The officers outside, the ones with training and weapons and body armor, didn't. And because she had that outburst, because she said what she wanted to say, she's been permanently banned from the courtroom. I get it. You need order in your court. But you can't unhear something like that. You can't unsee the pain of a woman who lost her sister while officers stood in hallways and parking lots and waited. The trial has already seen significant legal complications. On the first day of testimony, former Robb Elementary teacher Stephanie Hale took the stand and testified that she saw the gunman on the south side of the campus near where Gonzalez was positioned. The defense immediately objected, claiming this information differed from what Hale told Texas Rangers 4 days after the shooting. They accused the prosecutor of a Brady violation of withholding evidence of conducting a trial by ambush. Judge Harrell heard the hearing, or held a hearing on it, and the defense moved for a mistrial. The judge denied it, but he made an unusual decision. He struck Hill's entire testimony from the record. Every word she said gone. Jurors were instructed to disregard it completely. And in a moment of unexpected compassion, Harrell called Hale back into the courtroom to reassure her. "You did absolutely nothing wrong," he told her. He explained that memories of traumatic events change over time, that recollections shift. He shared his own experience of being hit by a drunk driver, of spending 2 months in the hospital, of how his own memory of that day evolved. It was a human moment in a trial that has been defined by inhumanity. The state is expected to call approximately 60 witnesses before resting its case. So far, the jury has heard from funeral home workers, teachers' aides, surviving teachers, forensic experts, law enforcement officers, and at least one parent of a child who was killed. Jennifer Garcia, the mother of 9-year-old Elena Garcia, testified that she lost her daughter. Elena had wanted to come home early that day. She stayed for an end-of-year pizza party. She would have turned 10 years old on June 4th, 11 days after she was killed. It's a sad state of affairs, my friends, that we live in a country where this is the reality. If you don't have kids in the school system and have not had children in the school system since Columbine happened, way back at the turn of the century, 26 years ago or so, then you have no idea what the hell this is like. If you have no children in that system, if you have not been a child at one point in that system over the last 26 years, then you have no idea what this is like. "Well, I have this, I have that." Maybe if you have grandkids or something, maybe, I mean, kind of, you're going to get some vibes of what it's like. But if you don't, I'm sorry, your opinion doesn't matter. Because there is no world in which this should be the reality that we live. This end of year thing, end of year pizza party. You know, just a few years ago, my own daughter was back in school right after COVID. And it was the last day of school. You know, it should be a fun time. It should be, you know, exactly what these kids were experiencing here. And there was a threat that came down online about something happening at her very school on that very day. Do you think I let her go to school that day? No. She missed the last day because of a threat. Because we can't properly insulate our schools, because we can't get our handle on this. Because we keep pretending it's this that's causing it, it's that that's causing it. And we never really truly get a grip on any of this. I was a senior when Columbine happened. I luckily didn't grow up in a time where this was something I had to worry about every day. And I can't imagine. I mean, I can imagine it from a parental aspect of this, of having to worry about this every day when your kids go to school. It's insane. My parents didn't worry about that. Your parents, I know maybe they did. It just depends how old you are. But if you're a kid and every day you're going to school and the possibility of being blown away by a gunman is like a very real thing. I mean, I was a kid with a lot of anxiety. I'm an adult with a lot of anxiety, but I can't imagine how I would have processed that back then and how kids are dealing with this today. We're like, oh, the kids have anxiety, this or that. Like, yeah, well, they're going to school every day, knowing the very real possibility that they might get shot. And the best advice is to hide under a desk and throw a stapler, because the grownups in our society have decided to fail them in every way, shape, or form rather than actually dealing with the problems. Yeah, grab a stapler. Have some Friskers. Stab the guy with the AR. Good luck. This is basically what we tell kids. They don't understand the fuck they don't. It's a sad state of affairs. And just because there's not necessarily physical bruises on everyone from living a childhood like this, and every child that goes into the school system goes through this and has to think about these things, the mental abuse that creates, the torment of this idea. I mean, yeah, we have people like this all over our country, all over our world, really. But the idea that a child would have to have this running through their mind in elementary school while they're just trying to learn. I mean, childhood is tough enough. And yet, this is what we say is okay for status quo here. There is no verdict yet. There may not be one for days or weeks. We'll bring it to you when there is. The jury will have to weigh whether Adrian Gonzalez's actions or lack thereof raise to the level of criminal child endangerment. They'll have to decide whether a police officer can be held criminally responsible for failing to engage an active shooter. This is only the second time in American history that question was put in front of a jury. The first was Scott Peterson, the school resource officer at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. He got off. He stayed outside while 17 people were murdered. He was acquitted. Gonzalez faces a maximum of 2 years in state jail if convicted on all counts per count. It depends how the judge lapses this out. It could be life. It could be as low as two. It could be up to life. He's elected to have the judge determine the sentence rather than the jury, which means if the judge finds him guilty, he'll decide what that guilt is worth. 2 years per count. 19 dead kids. 2 times 19. At that age, it's probably a life sentence. The families in that courtroom have waited nearly 4 years for someone to be held accountable. They've watched investigations stall. They've watched officers retire. They've watched the school where their children died get replaced by a new building with a new name. And now they're watching a trial that might end the same way the shooting response did, with everyone pointing fingers at everyone else and no one willing to say they were responsible. 77 minutes. That's how long it took for law enforcement to breach that classroom and kill the gunman. 77 minutes. Nearly 400 officers standing outside, children calling 911, begging for help, bleeding out on the floor of their fourth grade classroom while nearly 400 officers stood in hallways and parking lots and argued about who had the keys. I wish I was joking. It'd be a really sick, bad joke, but I wish that was like a statement of non-fact. That's just what happened. That's not up for debate. Adrian Gonzalez was the first one there. He won't be the last one judged. Let's continue the conversation in the comments section, either on YouTube, Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski is where you'll find us there, or you can join us in our Substack. You can get all of our reporting a day in advance over there, so you can be the first to comment on these stories, the first to get these stories, and hear our reporting. Check it out. The link is in the description, hiddenkillers.substack.com. It's free to join right now. There is no paywall. Come over there, join us, interact, and give us your thoughts, and let's continue our conversation. Like I said, either on Substack or on the YouTube comments. And if you use Apple Podcasts, please, if you don't mind, go to our channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski, and leave us a review. That would be greatly appreciated. It helps signal to others that you're finding our reporting valuable, and then lets them know about us. So please, if you don't mind, if you've hit subscribe over there, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Very interested to continue this off the air and get your thoughts. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers Podcast.